Welcome to Send Me On My Way. I'm your host, Audrey Dean Kelly. And on this podcast, we're going to talk about everything from music to pop culture to reality TV to pretty much whatever I want. So let's get into it. All right, y'all. Today, I wanted to talk about fanatics, my own history being a fanatic, my then history with someone being a fan of my own, and the fine line between adoration and obsession. So let's get into it. And this episode was inspired recently by Chapel Roan putting up boundaries and rejecting fandom. And historically, I have been quite a little fanatic. Let me tell you, my first experience, I was a New Kids on the Block fan when I was like 3 years old. My sisters and my cousins were fans, so I was a big Donnie girl, guys. Let me tell you, I had an airbrush t-shirt that my mom got for me at the mall that said, "I heart Donnie." Honestly, Mom, I hope we still have that of all the stuff you've saved. Pull that out of the archives. So yeah, it said, "I heart Donnie." And yeah, I was obsessed. I had a birthday party that my parents hired like performers to come to that they pretended like it was New Kids on the Block, except like it was only three guys. And somehow I believed for years that New Kids on the Block came to my birthday because I was like four. And years later, I watched the VHS and alas, it was not. But I was a Donnie girl all the way. And that fandom definitely continued when I was, when did the Spice Girls come out? I was in third grade when they came out. And pretty much as soon as they came out, I was obsessed. And when I tell you, like, that was my experience with being a borderline crazy fanatic. I was obsessed with Ginger Spice. I remember I would stay home and I would put their CD on and I would practice, like, first of all, I loved listening to the album. This is how, like, now I know I was meant to do music. It's like, I would listen to the album and I loved breaking down who was singing each part. And I loved working on mimicking the vocals of each Spice Girl. And like, honestly, I could still do it. I can still listen to the whole album and I can tell you exactly who's singing at any time. And like, I think most of us Spice Girl fans, like, you know, Mel B definitely, Sporty Spice. Mel B, Mel C, am I getting confused? Sporty Spice certainly vocally carried the Spice Girls in a lot of ways. But, I feel like I should edit that out. I might get in trouble from people, but let's be honest, she did. But yeah, I was obsessed, guys, and I was so obsessed. This was like, oh my God, you guys are gonna laugh. This was right when AOL was coming out. So this was back in the day when AOL first came out, there were like chat rooms, and third grade Audrey and her friends would get on these chat rooms, these like Spice Girl chat rooms. And I remember I was chatting with some account called Jerry Girl OO, because I would like, you could like look up in the people lists, like, you could look for people. And so I would look for the Spice Girls. And I convinced myself that this one account, Jerry Girl OO, was Ginger Spice. And that we were chatting. And because they fully were pretending to be. And like, in hindsight, I really hope this was somebody that I know that was messing with me. That would be amazing. So if it was, please reveal yourself. But in hindsight, it was probably some creepy old dude. So, but that was the Wild West of AOL when it first came out. And you guys who lived it, we all know it. I mean, our generation, it was some unfiltered shit, let me tell you. But I would talk to this account, and they convinced me they were Ginger Spice. And so I was obsessed enough that I was AOL chatting with a, you know, creep, thinking that I was talking to this person. So I certainly have had my days of obsession. Lord knows when Britney Spears came out, I remember, I mean, my friends from like seventh grade will tell you stories about how I used to be like, guys, want to have a singing contest to see who can sing Baby One More Time the best? And like, they would all be like, no, Audrey, we don't. We know you just want to sing Baby One More Time for us. So it would be my like sad excuse to be like, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. And it's like, I'm still doing that now. but anyways, yeah, your girl has been a fanatic many a times in her life. And certainly part of why I became an artist is because I had that fandom within me that fueled my love of music and my love of singing. And, you know, I definitely am a better singer because of how many hours I spent rehearsing every single part of every single different Spice Girl vocal, trying to exactly match what they were doing. For sure. So it's interesting because every artist at some point has been a fanatic. And it's part of what fuels your artistry. But as we see with Chapel Roan now becoming massively famous very quickly, she's rejecting that fame. And that stalker, the fans that cross the line, the fans that cross the line between adoration to obsession, or the ones that expect something from you. I think people forget. I mean, people act a fool around celebrities. Let me tell you, most of y'all act a fool around celebrities. You just do. You're taking pictures of them thinking they don't notice. You're taking, it's just, there is a fine line, people, and I will say 99.999% of the population, y'all don't know how to behave around celebrities. So go figure, our artists are putting up boundaries, and thank God. So, you know, to also talk about my own experience with this, when I was a performer, and like, y'all, this was on a lower level. I was playing shows in Arkansas. I think I've alluded to this before. I was like massively oversaturating my market. Like, God bless you guys that were booking me. Shout out to all of those amazing bookies across all of those bars in Arkansas who knew that I was just playing every other night and still giving me gigs. Thank you. Love you guys. But I'm giving you that context because it was awesome when people came out to see me, but there is a fine line when you're playing every single, you know, every other night of the week. When someone starts coming every single time, that does start to, it goes from being supportive to being creepy. And I certainly had that. And the guy that did it to me, there was one guy that, yes, he came to every single show. And for a while at the time, I had a boyfriend who was also coming to my shows, who was like, he made it so that I felt safe being there in spite of this person who kept coming to every single show. And, you know, it was definitely, he crossed a line. He crossed a big line. And when that relationship ended, he immediately at my next show asked me out, and I said no. He asked me to go away with him to California, and I said, it was to the point that I remember leaving shows, and like, I'm talking about, I remember playing one show in West Little Rock, and it was in this bar where people could still smoke inside of the bar. So like, this was a brutal show to play, but it was a 4-hour gig, and I would play this And this dude stayed until the very end of my set. And I know some of you guys are going to say he was supporting your music. I'm sorry, but like staying till the end of a grueling 4-hour set when you've been to the same exact set, like, I mean, granted, I didn't play the same set every night. I played a lot. I let people do covers, but this guy had seen me like every other night before that. So like to stay that long till the end, I remember leaving those shows being so fucking creeped out and like literally looking in my rearview mirror as I was driving home, trying to make sure nobody was following me. And yes, you guys may say that's paranoid, but like that is, if that happened to me on such a low level of artistry, as far as like the number of fans, then imagine what that's like when you get on a much higher level. I can't even wrap my brain around it. I don't think any of us can wrap our brains around it. And I don't think that most people can wrap their brains around the mindfuck that is becoming famous. And becoming famous at the warp speed that she just did to the level that she just did. So, look, she's been working at this for a long ass time. And I am not coming on here to say that she hasn't worked on this for a long time, because she has. But she has had a meteoric rise in the past 8 months, 6 months. And Chapel is putting up boundaries and she's rejecting this fame because she has lost a lot of freedom. And, you know, there is a downside to being famous. There just is. There are a lot of wonderful, amazing things that come along with it. Don't get me wrong. But to give up one's personal freedom, it's not worth it in my opinion, it would not be worth giving up those personal freedoms unless you were doing it to be able to do what you love. And even if you get it that way, psychologically being able to comprehend your own identity when it changes that rapidly. And I think that's why you see her now really making a distinction of Chapel Roan is not just me. It is my project. And she's doing that because her end game has never been fame. Now, no, I know you guys are going to correct me on that. Look, yes, her end game has been fame in the sense that, like, if you want to be successful as a musician, in most cases, you have to be famous. So it's a byproduct of success in her artistry. And that's a very, very, very different thing from chasing fame just to be famous. You know, I'm someone who, look, I would love for this podcast to be successful. I would love for my music to be successful. If that meant me becoming famous because I was successful in those fields, then I would want that. Would I ever go on a reality show and lose my anonymous walks in Central Park with my kids and, you know, going to the grocery store? And, you know, like, I am not someone who likes strangers coming up to me now. So, Lord knows, I wouldn't like it when I would be super famous. So I get it. I get it. And you're allowed to want to be successful in your art and not be doing it because you want to be famous. You're allowed to reject that. And I think it's refreshing. And I think, you know, look, there's an amazing podcast by this girl, Coco Moco, she talks about, you guys should definitely go listen to it. I linked it already, but I'll link it again. She talks about Chapel Roan's rise and how it's linked to Pluto moving from Capricorn to Aquarius. It's brilliant. You should go listen to it. But she has a really interesting insight in that Capricorn, Pluto and Capricorn, which has happened since like basically like The Apprentice came out and all of the Kardashians, it's been in Capricorn, which is like a very money, success driven sign. It's all about like, that's why you've seen people like showing off success. Our she talks about how fame has been very linked to being flashy and showy, and how now that it's moving into Aquarius, she talks about how Aquarius rejects that and you're going to see more of like a collective. And it's just, I have to tell you, it's so fascinating. Go listen to it. Go follow her account. She really does. If you're into astrology, and I am very into astrology, but she does a really interesting, you know, intersection between astrology and pop culture. And it's just mwah, chef's kiss, baby. It's great. But yeah, in general, I think it's great that artists are putting up boundaries. You need to see that because, look, we've seen the opposite of that. And you have artists like Britney Spears who have been victims of fame and their success. And, you know, if she weren't to put up these boundaries and take this time and, you know, really try to give herself grace in what she's taking on. If she doesn't do that, she will burn out, and we have to protect our artists' mental health, especially the ones we love. Especially, like, I mean, just give her the space she needs and be grateful that she's not in it for the fame. I think that's great. She's in it because it's her art. And, but yeah, y'all should also listen to me. Listen, y'all stop acting fools around these celebrities. Just stop it. Like, it's so tacky. Just here's some rules. If they're sitting at dinner, especially if they're sitting at dinner with their family, do not go up to them. Do not interrupt their dinner to ask them for an autograph. If they are out with their kids, you are not going to stop them to take a photo with them. They are out with their children. Do not talk to them. Honestly, like, unless they open up a conversation with you, I think it's kind of tacky to approach people. And I mean, drunkenly, I think I've done it in clubs when I was younger. I had a really cringy time that I did that with Bruce Willis. And I think that was the one time in my life where, like, I randomly went up to a celebrity and, like, I immediately was like, oh, I hate that I did that. And, like, I will never do that again. But in general, y'all, just let them be. And you know what? If you're just a little bit cooler, you got to kind of act like a cat, you know? Like, let them come to you. And then you might actually strike up a conversation. Maybe they will want to talk to you. But that's not what y'all are doing. And you're approaching it all wrong. Give them space. Let them be. Do not try to take their photo like they don't notice. They notice. It's tacky. Don't do it. And, you know, you don't own them just because they are a public persona. They are a person. They are a human being. So that comes to the end of my show. As always, thanks for listening, y'all. Love ya.
Georgia called me up.